Bill Gates wants to help solve a mystery. Why 5 million Americans have Alzheimer's, yet we know so little about the disease? Gates is investing $50 million of his money in this, but he says this is not about a cure.
Should the word cure be used with Alzheimer's?
It's probably setting a high bar. At first, we probably should say treatment, and any type of treatment would be a huge advance, you know, from where we are today. So, yes, I believe there's a solution.
Our next guest helps families and caregivers figure out what to do when their loved one has Alzheimer's or dementia. Erica Farrell, clinical manager at the Washington State chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You and Bill Gates are on the same page on this one. There's a lot we don't know. What are your biggest questions about Alzheimer's?
Yeah, that's right. There is quite a bit we don't know about the disease still. We don't exactly know what causes it. We don't know why it impacts certain people like African Americans and Latinos at a higher rate than Caucasian Americans or Caucasians overall. We don't know how to stop it. We don't know how to treat it.
How can that be? Are you surprised at how little we know?
I mean, sometimes, yes, actually. I mean, there's a lot of hope on the research end. Every research trial that, you know, we conduct, we learn more and more about the disease. You know, we talk a lot about the amyloid and tau proteins and the buildup and impact that they have and kind of mimicking the symptoms, the progression of those mimicking the symptoms of the disease. But, you know, there's a lot more I'd like to know personally. I think a lot of families would like to know, too.
What is the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia?
So dementia is actually an umbrella term that we use to describe a specific set of symptoms, and Alzheimer's is a type of dementia. So there are many different types of dementia.
So why don't we just talk about dementia? Why does Alzheimer's get so much of the attention?
Yeah, because it is people are diagnosed with Alzheimer's at a higher rate than the others. So it's the most prominent type of dementia out there right now.
Yeah. How does it work? How does Alzheimer's work?
Well, what we know is that there is a buildup of tau proteins and amyloid proteins in the brain. And we know this kind of after death, right? We look at autopsies of the brain. And basically what happens is they interrupt communication between brain cells. And I'm definitely watering this down quite a bit.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah. So they disrupt communication between brain cells, which does lead to cell death. And that's when we start to see some symptoms of, you know, the typical symptoms with memory loss and difficulty processing information, difficulty with familiar tasks, familiar places, not being able to recognize those.
So the memory loss is just a symptom of the cell death?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's impacting the communication between the brain cells that impact how, you know, the ability to speak, the ability to grab words from your brain. Essentially, it's because the brain is dying.
Yeah.
You know, that starts to happen.
By the way, I want to say out front that my mother has not been diagnosed with anything, but mm-hmm. she's in a senior living center, and she's clearly losing her memory, getting shorter and shorter. And so I relate to this kind of stuff personally. Do you think it's important that we get some kind of, I know you don't know me or my mom, but huh. but should more people go and try to get a diagnosis than actually do?
Yeah, absolutely. We really recommend diagnosis because it really helps the person with the disease as well as family members who might be living with them or helping them, caring for them, helps them plan for the future. So it's really a starting off point.
Why? How does the planning come in?
Yeah, so I'm glad you're asking these questions because it's actually, you know, questions that physicians themselves have. And that's why we also sometimes have trouble getting physicians to diagnose as early as possible because we think there's no cure. What can I possibly do if there's no cure? This is just going to play out. But the reality is there's a lot of things that we can put in place ahead of time to prepare the family and the person, you know, for what's to come. I mean, people move through this disease in a very individual way. I mean, there are some common themes, but, you know, generally having a plan in place that might involve, you know, respite care or housekeeping or meals. You know, maybe it's care planning for, you know, eventually moving into some kind of senior living facility where there's more support in place, or maybe it's staying at home.
Even though I don't know a progression rate, but it's mm-hmm. more like it just helps me picture some eventual possible outcomes.
Yeah, and helps you also educate yourself or work with somebody to, you know, around what are these changes going to look like and how can I best respond to the person with the disease? You know, what works and what doesn't? We definitely have a lot of tips for caregivers when it comes to that, you know, just communicating with the person.
I understand you had a grandparent who probably had Alzheimer's or progressive dementia. You never knew?
Exactly. I think this was, it was kind of a case where, you know, never was diagnosed. We saw some symptoms ourselves and had questions, but, you know, she passed away before, you know, we really knew for sure. And now that I'm in this field in particular, I think that that's probably what we were looking at.
Why? What? How would a diagnosis have changed things in your case?
I think we would have put more support in place earlier and had more like more frequent contact with her. Excuse me. I think we sort of, and I think a lot of families do this, but you know, think, oh well, they're just getting older, and it's really easy that the warning signs are really easy to kind of say, oh, well, she's older now. But you know, the reality is once you kind of get past the warning signs into the disease, you know, people eventually need help with activities of daily living. You know, just to get through a day, they're going to need some assistance with different pieces. And so I think that, you know, as soon as someone gets a diagnosis, even if, I mean, hopefully it is when they're in the very early stages, they can be a part of that conversation, you know, what the future looks like and what they're going to be comfortable with. And, you know, talking with the people that they're caring for them about, the future in general and what that looks like.
We asked our listeners about this. I'd like to get some ideas from you about how we can deal with dementia and Alzheimer's as best we can. I'm talking with Erica Farrell, clinical manager at the Washington State chapter of the Alzheimer's Association, and we are on Twitter at KUOW right now. First of all, I want to get your reaction, if any, to the Bill Gates investment, $50 million, and the attention that comes with Bill Gates. How did you react to that?
I was over the moon, so excited this morning.
Was it a surprise?
It was, for me personally, yes. I know that, you know, I think that he had been kind of in contact with, you know, leaders in our Chicago office and certainly our CEO out there. But it's so great because, like you said, he's bringing a huge awareness to this now. And certainly his dedication to funding, you know, more innovative studies, it's wonderful.
He seems quite selective about what he can choose his limited, you know, his sort of unlimited money, but limited time and attention.
Yeah.
And he says he has a history, whether it's family or friends, with dementia. And it sounds like it moved him on this. Did you notice anything about what he said?
I did read the blog article that mm-hmm. he posted. He mentioned, you know, family members, and I loved his points. We do need, I don't know. Sorry about this. I'm just really excited. I think I'm really excited to see what's to come.
So I mentioned we asked listeners what has worked for them, what's helped them find some moments of lightness, even comfort, as they care for someone with Alzheimer's. And Heather wrote, "I'm caring for my mother, and she's extremely depressed and angry over her situation. Her father and his sisters all suffered from the disease and used humor to get them through it. I was hoping my mother would take the same approach." Have you seen humor work with Alzheimer's patients?
I guess that's kind of a big question. I mean, in what way? I think humor, yeah, absolutely. I think we all need to find the lightness in this disease. I mean, some things can be very funny.
Memory loss, I mean, inherently can lead to funny situations if that's how you're looking at it.
Exactly. And I think it's important to keep that lens. You know, this disease isn't funny. There's a lot to be, you know, upset about and sad about and certainly depressed about. I think humor is a really an important thing to keep at heart, especially, you know, for a caregiver, family, the person with the disease as much as possible.
Yeah. Heather also said about her mother, it's very hard to try to support an unwilling recipient. Do you have any advice for talking to families, caregivers who might have somebody who's, you know, they're understandably they're depressed, they're angry, they're not easy to help?
Yeah. You know, it's not unusual that, you know, people initially very much deny what's happening and are depressed and are hard to reach. And I think that, you know, how we might work with a caregiver, it's very individual. Heather, please call us. But I think that for the caregiver, trying to empathize as much as possible. So remembering that what this person is facing and meeting them where they're at. So, you know, if they're not ready to talk about Alzheimer's disease, you know, using mirroring language sometimes is helpful. Like they might acknowledge memory loss, but they might not say, I have Alzheimer's disease or their kind of dementia. And so using, you know, mirroring the language that they use and kind of trying to work with them at their own pace while, you know, still giving nudges and opportunities for social engagement, you know, connecting with other family or friends, you know, encouraging that as much as possible. But knowing at the end of the day, you know, they're able, still able to make their own decision. And if they're not going to do anything, that's not the caregiver's fault.
By the way, for what little it's worth, again, my mother doesn't have a diagnosis. She's clearly losing her memory. And I have been reluctant to bring that up because who wants to talk about that? And maybe she'll be bummed out or mad, alienated from me if I bring it up. But I honestly have so far haven't found that to be the case. And I was telling you about that and you said, well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Maybe it's a relief.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I think that's very typical that caregivers or other friends or family who are noticing something might be afraid or hesitant to talk about it. But, you know, some people are so appreciative to have this space to say, you know what, something is going on and I'm afraid just like you are. And I think we should definitely give people the opportunity. So don't shy away from those conversations. Have them.
A couple more questions. We got a one-word answer from listener Andrew, and we asked about what gets you through. The answer, this one word, cannabis, which, of course, we don't know. Is that for Andrew or for presumably the person he's caring for? It just made me wonder, where does medical marijuana fit in with Alzheimer's patients?
Yeah, so the FDA, definitely, it's not a treatment approved by the FDA. And right at this moment, there really isn't enough research at all to determine whether it's helpful. So, you know, we wouldn't recommend it based on that. However, we are hopeful that we will have more information. You know, I think there have been a couple of small studies that we've funded to try to figure out, you know, is this helpful? Is there some legitimacy to people who do experience, you know, for the person with the disease, more clarity? Or, you know, we've heard some of this before from caregivers. But yeah, the bottom line is we don't know enough yet.
My mom and I enjoy watching some vintage entertainment, including music. Yesterday, we were watching an old Dean Martin special. And I have heard that music has a special way of breaking through to dementia patients.
That's right. There's actually a wonderful documentary. It's called Alive Inside. I'd highly recommend it. I absolutely love it. It's all about music and the impact it can have with people who have Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia, especially in the later stages where people are usually non-communicative. It's hard to know what they're thinking or feeling, but you could put headphones on somebody, play music from, you know, their time when they were young, and you might see them respond, which is really fascinating. And I mean, I think that's a wonderful, it's wonderful to use that, you know, with people who have the disease.
I do think I see that reaction from some people around who are much, much, much farther along.
Mm-hmm.
So let me end. You used the word hopeful, Erica. Bill Gates said that he's optimistic we can find some kind of treatment that works. Do you share Gates's optimism in, let's say, your lifetime?
Oh, gosh, I hope so. Yeah, absolutely.
You're a young-looking person. But what kind of timeline are we looking at for hope, do you think?
Oh, goodness. I mean, I don't know. I'm hesitant to comment on the timeline, but I think absolutely in my lifetime. I'm really hopeful. Like I said, we learn more and more with every trial. And when you look at other diseases like, you know, HIV, AIDS, cancer even, how those diseases have changed for people who have them because of the amount of money that's been, you know, pushed into research. And, you know, we're getting there. We want Alzheimer's disease research to get there too, whether it's, you know, from the Gates Foundation funding, you know, smaller studies that are innovative or through the Alzheimer's Association. I think research will definitely, more research, more money for it will pave the way to a cure.
That's Erica Farrell, clinical manager at the Washington chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Means that she works with families and caregivers for people with Alzheimer's or progressive dementia. There's a 24-hour helpline the Alzheimer's Association runs. So if you've got questions, your concerns about a loved one, call that helpline, 800-272-3900. Again, 1-800-272-3900. And you don't have to memorize that because we're tweeting that out at KUOW. We're talking on the occasion of Bill Gates saying he's going to give $50 million of his own money to solving the mystery of Alzheimer's and dementia. Erica Farrell, thanks for coming in and telling us what we don't and do know.
Thank you so much.